Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this Thursday of a Chiefs bye week. We got some football topics to get to coming up in just a bit. We're going to have a lot of fun today. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to head out to Denver, Colorado to talk to the team that is currently in first place in the AFC West, the Denver Broncos. They also have Thursday night football coming up later today against the Las Vegas Raiders. We're also going to head to Lawrence, Kansas in the 3 o'clock hour. KU has a big weekend. On Friday night, they go on the road to play North Carolina in basketball. On Saturday, they go on the road to play Arizona. KU needs one more win this football season to qualify for a bowl game. That will be their third bowl game in 4 years. We're also going to have Jay Binkley join us in studio coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. I told you guys, we got a lot of fun playing on today's show. We'll get to the NFL coming up in just a bit, but I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, now I always say that number three is most importantly, but Rob, we saw the ratings today. People ain't been telling one friend to listen to the show. We don't ask for much. This is a free radio program. The only thing that you guys need to do to repay us, hopefully, for the hours of quality content that we have given you is just to tell one person to listen to the show. That doesn't feel like it's that big of an ask. So please, whatever you do today, when you see somebody, I don't care if they're a friend, I don't care if they're a stranger, I don't care if they cut you off in traffic, I want you to roll down your window and say, hey, excuse me, sir, are you listening to 95 or 96.5 The Fan? That's all I need you to do. And number three, I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. If you're looking for a place to watch that Kansas game that we were talking about, to watch Thursday night football, to get you a great beer special, a great food special, sit out on the patio and enjoy a couple of the nice warm fall days that we have left, I would highly encourage you to check out our friends over at The Other Place. So I was watching ESPN today to get ready for the show, and they had two absolutely incredible questions that I would like to answer as we kick things off. Now, the first question was one that I haven't even begun to think of, and I started thinking, that's why they make the big bucks over there on ESPN. So this was a topic that they had on First Take. Are the Chiefs more likely to miss the playoffs or make the Super Bowl? Now, I don't think the Chiefs are missing the playoffs, but just the fact that we are asking the question at the midway point in the NFL season is a very interesting question to me. So, Rob, I broke this down today. Speck and I were going through the standings, and this is what we came up with. There are four teams in the AFC that I would consider a lock to be the playoffs at this point in the season. That if any one of these four teams missed the playoffs, it would take a collapse of epic proportions for them to outright miss the postseason. The Colts, the Patriots, the Bills, and the Broncos. The Colts, given their division and games they have left, the Patriots and Bills both have two easy cupcake schedules. I would be very surprised if at this point we are not talking about the Broncos being one of the seven best teams in the AFC. Now, are they going to win their division? That remains to be seen. But I would be stunned at this point if the Broncos did not qualify for the postseason. So we're looking at the AFC, and I would say four of those spots are locked up. Colts, Pats, Bills, Broncos. Now, you got the winner of the AFC North, whether it's the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Ravens. I know that I left the Ravens for dead a few weeks back, but you know what? Lamar is getting healthy. The schedule is opening up. The Steelers are the Steelers. There is certainly a possibility that the AFC North is still up for grabs. Now, I still have my Ravens missed the playoff bet at plus 260, and I feel good about it, given the lead that the Steelers have and how competitive the rest of the AFC is. But you have to acknowledge that the Ravens, now that they're healthy, now that they've turned that defense around, now that they got Lamar back, it is probably going to be a race to the finish, and we'll see if the Ravens can win that division. Do you probably have to get to 10, maybe 9-8 wins the AFC North? That remains to be seen. So I would say then there are three other teams, Kansas City, the Chargers, or the Jaguars. Now, what is a bad thing for Kansas City, two of your losses or to the other two teams that we're talking about, you've lost a game to the Chargers. I know you get a chance to get them on the get back so you can neutralize the tiebreaker advantage that they have over you. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I don't think the Chiefs are missing the playoffs, but it is a very interesting question. Now that we sit here at the midway point, we know the Chiefs' record at 5-4. Are they more likely to miss the playoffs outright, or are they more likely to win the Super Bowl? I still think the answer is win the Super Bowl. I still consider them to be one of the contenders in the AFC. Right now, it is about getting healthy, getting right, getting through this three-game stretch that you have on the road against the Broncos, home against the Indianapolis Colts, on the road Thanksgiving Day against the Cowboys, a team that offensively can put up some points, and then I think the schedule opens up a little bit for you coming up on the back half that I think is going to allow you to be able to gobble up some wins, gain some momentum, and full speed ahead to the postseason. So I thought that was a pretty interesting question that they were debating on First Take. Now, here was a subject that they were talking about on ESPN's Get Up, and I want to play the conversation for you. You know that the Jets have all those picks they just got for the trade. They just traded for Sauce, or they just traded Sauce Gardner away. They just traded Quinnen Williams away. We also know that the Jets are looking for a quarterback. This was a great question. What if the Jets took all of those picks, and what if they packaged them for Joe Burrow?
This is a league that always has quarterback questions. This now, as much as ever, feels like an arms race with teams positioning themselves to make big moves for quarterbacks, whoever they are, whenever they are. We saw this week that anybody can be had. Mm. We saw that teams are willing to go nuts to get their guy. So why is it going to stop there? When it starts there, it's not going to stop. Yeah. It's only going to increase. And there are some teams out there that have some major ammunition to go dangle to make things happen.
Not anybody can be.
That was beautiful.
Joe Burrow cannot. No way. Jets, try all you want.
I think it would be crazy for the Bengals to trade Joe Burrow.
Outrageous.
That being said, he's ended the last three seasons, they won't make the playoffs. He's ended three seasons on IR. If you're able to get a king's ransom, I could see it not being a 0%. I don't think it's smart. I was there with Carson Palmer.
Let me ask you a question.
To camp,
how do you think
and
Joe?
And we had Andy Dalton, and we flipped him all these draft picks into what is probably the most successful stretch for Bengals franchise history from 2011 to 2016.
Go, Shefty, go.
We're just talking. How do you think Joe Burrow feels about the Bengals defense and the offensive line that's protected?
If I were Joe Burrow, if I were Joe Burrow, I would want out of Cincinnati.
You would?
Yes. If I were Joe Burrow, that doesn't mean Cincinnati would be obliging to that.
Hold on. That's where it gets interesting.
I thought this was a very interesting debate. Let's go down this path for just a little bit here. Because the Jets certainly have the ammunition that would make an organization think. If you're the New York Jets and you say, we don't want to deal with developing a quarterback, we don't want to take Ty Simpson, we don't want to take Mendoza, we don't want to take Dante Moore from Oregon, Lenore Sellers, whatever quarterback you think is good, and we want what we think is a proven commodity. Now, as an asterisk, I mean, it would be the most Jets thing to pass up on the 21, 22-year-old quarterbacks and then trade for the 29-year-old quarterback with bad knees, but it's a fun hypothetical. If you're the Jets and you called the Bengals right now and you told them, we will trade you our 2026 first-round pick, not ours, but we'll trade you the Colts one, we'll take our 2027, also the Colts draft pick. We'll give you that. And we'll also trade you our second round pick, which could be pretty high up in the draft. We're talking about it could be the 33rd overall pick in this year's NFL draft. That's great compensation. I think you at least got to think about it if you're Cincinnati. Now, I don't think Cincinnati makes this trade, and I think the biggest reason is I don't think you sign Ja'Marr Chase to the deal that you signed him to, and you know the relationship between Chase and Joe Burrow. I don't think you go out and spend the money on T. Higgins that you've spent. I don't think you do that to a year into both of those contracts. You now have a completely different plan, and you want to go with a rookie quarterback that's going to have a little bit of a learning curve. But it's a very, very interesting question. So if you ask the age-old who says no in this scenario, Rob, I think Cincinnati says no if the Jets call and offer up this trade, but it's a really, really interesting hypothetical trade scenario.
I actually think it's the Jets that say no for all the reasons you laid out. You just acquired enough draft capital to take two bites of the apple at quarterback. Like, let's say you're the Jets. Next season, you're enamored with Francisco Mendoza. You draft him. He turns into Josh Rosen. You still have enough picks as a GM and a coach to be like, okay, we missed, but because of all these extra picks, we're then the ensuing year going to chase Arch Manning or whoever you think, you know, Julian Sayin, whoever you think the next guy after that up is. You are going to give away all that draft capital for a 28-year-old who's often injured and is on a very expensive contract, and you don't have an offensive line to protect him. Like, in the age-old who says no question, I get why the Bengals say no. I actually think the Jets say no first, because why burn the draft capital on something where I might not get every, you know, dollar's worth of value out of it?
I think the goal of the Jets with all of these draft picks that they have acquired, the goal should be, we're trying to be the Detroit Lions, which is a crazy sentence to say. But if you look at how the Lions did, now they had a little bit of a jump start. They had a quarterback. They then traded it for another quarterback that has worked out. I remember the conversation when originally the Lions traded for Jared Goff, and the feeling was, oh, he's just a throw-in. It's really about the picks. They'll just play out the string with Jared Goff, and then they'll move on. Well, that wasn't the case. That's not what happened. He has turned out to be a franchise quarterback for them. And then they have just hit on every other take. They've just hit on every other pick. They hit on Jahmyr Gibbs. They hit on this guy. They hit on this guy. To me, that's what the Jets should be focused on. We have all of this draft capital. We drafted Sauce Gardner. We didn't do anything with Sauce Gardner. We drafted Quinnen Williams. The exact same thing applies. Now that we have these four or five picks, we need to focus on getting our quarterback, and then we need to focus on building the infrastructure around them and hitting on those picks and trying to chase what would be a 29-year-old Joe Burrow, who is coming off another significant injury. I just don't know if that's the best pathway of using all of these assets that you have. So a great hypothetical, a great question, fun sports radio topic. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense for the Jets to do this more so than with Cincinnati. if you're Cincinnati, a hard reset might not be the worst idea. But at this point, you're just pot committed. You've paid all of these people. You got to see things out with Burrow. You got to see things out with Ja'Marr Chase. You got to see it out with T. Higgins. And we'll obviously see what happens if you can build an offensive line around your quarterback and a defense that's capable of getting you back to a potential championship level that they were a couple of years ago. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about one of the better teams in the National Football League. We're going to head to Denver, Colorado as they get ready for Thursday night football against the Raiders. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I can't remember the last time that we said this, but let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by the current leaders in the AFC West standings, the Denver Broncos. Andrew Mason of Denver Sports 104.3 joins us on the show. Andrew, I hope you enjoy that title because the plan is for you guys not to have that for too much longer. How's it going today, my man?
All right. Well, I mean, y'all have got the two games left on the schedule to try and catch up, right? So, I mean, technically, it's still in the Chiefs' grasp. Y'all still have control of your fate in the AFC West as far as things go. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
So let's just start with this, Andrew. How are we here with the Broncos? Because last year, I thought the Broncos were a good team, but I thought it was pretty clear that they were a wild card team, and they lost in the first round of the playoffs. But you felt very optimistic. You had your quarterback. You got your head coach in place. You had some decent talent around them. The expectation was to take the step forward. It looks like they are taking the step forward. How did we get here with the Broncos?
Well, those close losses that they had last year, and of course, y'all saw one of them at Arrowhead that came down to the last second field goal attempt that Leo Chenal blocked. Those close losses, they've become wins. Now, they remained losses in September, so that carried over to walk-off defeats at Indianapolis, at the Chargers in weeks 2 and 3. But then they play Philadelphia in week 5, come back from a 2-score deficit in the fourth quarter, get the win. And, I mean, that was the second win on this 6-game winning streak, but it just seemed like that game, that fourth quarter, that was a hump for this team to get over. And since then, they've pulled off a bunch of wins, most of them of the comeback variety. They played lousy against the Jets, but got a late field goal in the fourth quarter to win. They played terribly for 3 quarters against the Giants, but then came back in the final 6 minutes from a 3-score deficit, got the win. Blew out Dallas. That's the one complete game they've played in the last few. And then in Houston again, trailing going into the fourth quarter, got 11 fourth quarter points, got the win. They haven't figured out how to play a complete game except against Dallas, which has the struggling defense, but they seem to have figured out how to close out games, and Bo Nix seems to have that clutch thing, the ability to make plays in those end game situations, in those end game drives in him, and that's allowed them to ride this and have a 6-game winning streak.
We've been asking the question, are the Broncos a good team? We've been asking that for about a month here, and I would say the answers around town are changing around the Broncos. I don't think there's any question that the Broncos are a good team. I think they're going to win 11 or 12 games. They certainly have earned that. Do you see them as a Super Bowl contending team? Because it sounds to me like what you're describing, and from watching them this season, is right now they're winning a lot of those coin flip games. And I think we know how the NFL works is eventually the coin just lands on the other side and the house of cards can potentially come crumbling down. Do you look at this team as a Super Bowl contending team, what you're watching in Denver?
Well, I look at them as a Super Bowl contending team because I'm not sure there's a great team this year. I think we may be looking at teams that are good to very good being the Super Bowl contenders, and I'm not sure that there is that juggernaut, powerful team that you look at and say, wow, like they're the colossus that you can't knock off. I don't know that that team exists this year. It seems like every team, even the ones that we're talking about as contenders, they have a potentially fatal flaw. And, I mean, you know, you talk about the close wins. I mean, that does end up coming back on you at some point. I mean, now sometimes that point ends up being the following year. You could argue with the Chiefs, for example, having all the close wins last year, there's a regression this year. Those are not going their way this year. I'm not sure the Chiefs are much different in terms of the quality of team they are this year, but they're losing close games, but they won them last year. What I would say for the Broncos is sometimes when you see a lot of these types of results, sometimes I do wonder, is this a little bit like the 2022 Vikings, for example, that they won an awful lot of close games in the regular season as a team that was emerging, and then they got into the playoffs, they played the Giants in the first game, and they lost. I mean, is it a team like that, or is it a team that keeps on winning as they get into December and into the postseason? I think that's a question that I'm not sure that we have the answer to right now.
Right now, we're talking to Andrew Mason. He's with Denver Sports for 104.3 out in Denver, Colorado. Andrew, let's talk about Bo Nix. The same way that I got questions about the Broncos as a team, I feel like those questions just kind of center around Bo Nix. The numbers have taken a step back from last year, but the production as a team is better this year. I don't know what to make of Bo Nix. He hasn't really taken that leap forward that I thought that he possibly could. Where do you stand with Denver's quarterback right now?
Well, he's getting the offensive numbers. He's getting more support from the running game. J.K. Dobbins has been a very nice pickup for the offense. And R.J. Harvey as the second running back, someone who can deliver some explosiveness in the passing game as a target there, that certainly helped Bo along. It's interesting to look at his numbers because the some of the advanced analytics on him are not kind. I mean, you look at, say, or even you know, some of the numbers, like you look at success rate, for example. His success rate's one of the lowest in the league. Success rate being what percentage of his plays end in like success for the offense. For example, if you get 8 yards on a pass play on 3rd and 12, that's not success because that's not what the offense was hoping to do. You didn't move the chains. So his success rate is low. So it's not, you're not seeing consistency from Bo Nix, and certainly you're not seeing consistency throughout the game because the offense is often stalled throughout the game, but you're seeing good things happen in high leverage situations. You're seeing the offense look pretty effective when they go 2 minute. And this is another thing to kind of add to that. You kind of ask, okay, when the offense goes 2 minute, when the offense goes up tempo, it looks pretty good. So why don't you do that more often? Well, Sean Payton likes to sub in plenty of players play to play because he likes to get in the right personnel groups. He's got this tug of war going on. So there's really just, it's kind of confusing sometimes. With Bo, the other thing is sometimes the footwork is a little bit inconsistent, and this has revealed itself on some missed opportunities on deep balls. The chances have been there to hit deep passes, to hit open receivers, but sometimes even when he's got a clean pocket, sometimes he'll take an extra step before he throws, or he'll throw off his back foot, and that's led to some inaccuracy on the deep passes, and that has held down his overall production and why you haven't seen his numbers take the step up that I think a lot of people were hoping to see. So it's a decidedly mixed bag for Bo Nix, even though the team is an the team wide on the offense, it's looking more productive. So, I mean, it's leading to this, it's leading to this debate. Is Bo Nix that good, or is he, or is he not? I mean, I would say that certainly the running game, and I think Sean Payton's offensive scheme, I think certainly that is helping him along and maybe masking some of the developmental growth issues that are existing with Bo Nix right now.
Right now, we're talking to Andrew Mason for a couple more minutes. He covers the Denver Broncos. I think you guys have the best cornerback in the National Football League in Patrick Surtain. He's out with an injury right now. He obviously isn't going to play for Thursday Night Football. Do you think he plays next week against the Chiefs?
Well, there's a chance that they did not put him on injured reserve, and I think he's going to try to go in that game. It's a question of, obviously, is he going to aggravate that pec injury? If he twists, does he run the risk of turning a 3 or 4 week injury into something more severe? Like, can they protect him with that pec and prevent him from aggravating that? I think that's going to be the big storyline out here for the practice days next week, is will Pat Surtain be able to go or not? I think he will try in those practices to be ready to go. And the fact that they didn't put him on IR tells you that he's looking to try to be ready for that game. It's a question of whether they want to expose him or not. Certainly, if they get the job done tonight and they know that the worst that they can leave with that game with is a game and a half lead in the AFC West, I do wonder if they're going to maybe try to save him from himself a little bit and say, all right, take this week, take the bye week, come back on the other side of it. So I think actually tonight's result could have an impact on whether you see Surtain next week or not.
I'll get you out of here with this. Obviously, I think it would be early to call the division, and Denver still has to go to Kansas City on Christmas. But let's say that Denver wins today. I mean, they're 8.5-point favorites at home against a team that's not going anywhere. If they lose this game, then that's a big missed opportunity. But if you're heading into that game, I'm not going to say that it's over, but you got a chance to land a deafening blow to Kansas City. If they can take care of home next week, they can be 9-2 while Kansas City is 5-5. Like, Kansas City's really got to get going, and Denver has to have a pretty big collapse down the second half of the season. So maybe it's worth it if you're Denver to try to push it to potentially end Kansas City's chances of winning the division.
Yeah, potentially. But the thing is, if you get that win, but you lose Sertan now. They did just beat Houston without Sertan, but that was Houston without C.J. Stroud for three quarters, and they really had to labor to get past the Texans, even though they didn't have Stroud for much of that game. So, you know, I'm a little bit risk averse sometimes. I'm not sure I would do that if I were the Broncos. But you are right. I mean, if they get the win over the Chiefs, it's basic. At least. In regard to the Chiefs, the division race might be on lockdown. The Chargers could still close, but the Chargers have some tough games left. And of course, they're trying to patch up their situation in offensive tackle as well with Alton Slater down. So yeah, it's certainly an opportunity there for the Broncos. So, I mean, I do get what you're saying, but the other thing for the Broncos is like, if you risk Sertan and he turns that pec strain into a pec tear, then you don't have him for a playoff run that you might be in if you play him next week and he aggravates that injury. So it might be some even longer term situation considerations beyond that game that they have to weigh when making the Sertan decision.
I understand it's a different part of the body, but this feels like the same argument we just had in the NBA about Tyrese Halliburton and a strain, and you got to play him because of the magnitude of the game, and then worst-case scenario ends up happening. That is Andrew Mason joining us on the show. He is with Denver Sports 104.3. Andrew, something tells me that you will be on the show next week as the Chiefs and the Broncos have the most important game that they've had in a long time in this division. Happy to have you pop on with us today, my man.
All right, appreciate it. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. That's Andrew Mason joining us on the show today. He covers the Denver Broncos. I mean, that's a part of this conversation that obviously we don't need to have this week. Let's see how Thursday Night Football plays itself out. If there is anything we know is that the results of Thursday Night Football are always incredibly random. You got short week, you got divisional games. Who knows what's going to happen? Now, I believe the Broncos are going to win this game, but it would not be the craziest thing to have happen that the Raiders in a divisional game on a short week just end up pulling off the upset and beating the Denver Broncos. The Broncos have a chance to lay a potentially fatal wound these next 2 weeks. If the Broncos win this game, they go to 8-2, and they got a home game next week against Kansas City. Let me ask you this, Rob. Early look ahead line. Who do you think is favored next week? Denver's favored or Kansas City?
I think Denver will be favored by like 1.5. 1.5. Because I think they're going to win tonight, and you're going to have...
Chiefs are favored on the road against Buffalo.
Yeah. That didn't really mean much in the game.
For sure.
And I think... Division game, I think the Broncos would be a slight favorite. Slight favorite. It's also, we got to remember, too, with the Bills. The Bills' defense, at least we thought going into the game,
was beat up.
Was real beat up. The Broncos, we don't know the situation with Sertan. We won't know it next week, obviously, all those things. But they look healthier on paper, at least, than the Bills did last week.
Text line 913-586-7965. Curious to get your thoughts on that. If we just play the look-ahead line a little bit, who do you think is going to be favored in next week matchup between the Chiefs and the Broncos? I mean, the Chiefs are going to be healthy, you would presume. You believe they're getting back Josh Simmons. He's back now for the bye week. You would believe that they are doing everything they can to have him ready to play left tackle next week for Kansas City. They don't have any, at least visible injury, not certainly a thing that we know about right now.
Pacheco. Well, we don't know the situation with Pacheco.
Good point about Pacheco, but I'm guessing that you didn't put Pacheco on the IRs because you believe that he can play in this game. He missed the Bills game. You got the bye week. He then maybe is a limited participant in practice next week. I mean, that'll be 3 weeks in real time. I mean, that's a reasonable amount of time to think that he could potentially give you something in this game. We'll obviously see what happens. We'll get back to college football here coming up in just a bit, but I want to talk to you guys about this. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but they are making a biopic on Michael Jackson, and the trailer for this came out earlier today. Now, Rob, I watched the trailer almost instantly. I've been kind of anticipating this movie. I think a lot of people have been anticipating this movie. So when I found out that we got our first actual look at it, I was very curious to see what it looked like. Now, I was happy with what I saw with the original trailer. But
I have some questions about this. My biggest complaint with these kinds of movies, and this has been a theme in all of these that I've seen, it seems incredibly difficult to try to tell a person's 50-year life in a two-hour stretch. And it feels like it becomes basically a musical and just trying to basically be a living Wikipedia page. I think Michael Jackson's life and story is interesting enough. This should have been a trilogy. We should have had a movie on young Michael Jackson's life that could have been a two-hour movie. We could have had a second part about Off the Wall and Thriller and that story of Michael making the transition between a child star into a fully grown adult pop star, and then the third half of his, or the third portion of his life. That is the way I wish they had handled it. That's not what we've done here, but that would be my worry. I don't know how you tell Michael Jackson's story properly in 2.5 hours. I don't think they've really done a great job in telling many of these artist stories over a great 2.5 hour period. There's been some that I really like, but for the most part, it is feels like we're speeding things so incredibly quickly, and you're just trying to hit on these big moments that I don't know if we're properly telling the stories. This is an incredible story. I just hope that that's depicted in the movie.
So I had a question as well. We have different questions, but I have a question. It's in this similar vein. If you're going to tell the Michael story of Michael Jackson, are you going to tell the story of Michael Jackson? Because let's be honest, as much as his music is some of the most iconic of all time, his personal life is a huge part of the story. The Neverland Ranch, all that is a part of the Michael Jackson story. Is that going to be part of this movie? Because it is not a positive part of his life, but it is a part of his life. Is that going to come up?
I agree with you, but I'm just guessing based on what I've read, the fact that the Michael Jackson estate has approved the movie would then tell me the answer is they ain't diving super deep into that. I don't know why you would think they would sign off on it if that's the case. I also think that's why we haven't gotten the movie yet, is because how do you finish this movie? How do you do the last 15 minutes of this movie? I don't know how you properly tell the last 15 minutes of the movie, which is why we've been talking about this movie for 4 years now, and they finally have a date because they had to reshoot the ending of it because there's been so much controversy on how do you end this story.
And listen, what I don't want, and it's a weird thing. I don't want the movie to like be like, and that's how he was the greatest pop star of all time. Fade to black. No, we need to know the end of the story, because the end of the story is part of the story. Like, there is a group of people. There's a, you know, a large group of people, not small, that view Michael Jackson in a very different way because of the end of his story, his personal life and the demons and all the things he fought. You can't just be like, hey, he was a great pop star, end of movie, because that's really not a biopic. That's just, hey, Michael Jackson made music. Isn't that cool? Like, and you're right. These biopics have been kind of mid. Like, I don't think the Queen one with Freddie Mercury is great. I heard the Bruce Springsteen one wasn't very good.
The only one I really love is Ray. I think Ray's a really good movie.
Ray, I actually didn't mind the NWA one, but that's because NWA's story is like 10 minutes
long.
Yeah,
they have one album that everybody knows. they have one album.
They have 15 minutes of story, so it's easy to make it into 2 hours. But generally, these things kind of miss. Like, I never saw the Tupac one. I didn't even waste my time. I heard it wasn't very good.
You're right. Don't waste your time. I've seen it so you didn't have to see it. I've seen it. Coming up on the other side, let's talk a little bit of college football. And I think that a large majority of these openings, I think they're going to have a very, very similar problem. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let me tell you guys that our college football coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners, they're teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your favorite college team, catch every play, and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanners locations. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. I want to play this for you in case you missed it yesterday. This quote from Steve Sarkisian has just been playing in my mind the last couple of days when I've been thinking about college football.
Everybody wants to fire their coach. Who are you going to hire? There's all these jobs out there right now. Who's everybody going to hire? I don't know. We'll find out. Somebody's got to be the head coach.
The amount of, you know, 1 week you're a hero, the next week you're a zero mentality that fan bases and people want to have. Surely coaches want some security to what they sign up to go do. We work really hard, and I get it. We all want to win, and we're all busting our tails to try to win, and sometimes things don't go your way, especially in our conference. It's tough. And so the idea that coaches, you know, don't want some security in the jobs that they take, that doesn't quite make sense to me. You know, it should be like, man, somewhere in here, somebody has got to be willing to say, hey, let's see if this can work itself out. Not every year, not all 16 teams in the SEC are going to go to the playoff. It's just not reality. We're talking about trying to get 4 or 5 teams in this year. Last year, we got 3.
That is a head coach at the University of Texas, Steve Sarkisian. And the reason I've been thinking about this is, a lot of these coaches are deciding to stay where they are. Now, obviously, Penn State is going to hire somebody. Florida is going to hire somebody. LSU is going to hire somebody. But I would say there used to be a hierarchy of how this thing worked. If you were the Vanderbilt head coach and you were having great success, you took one of these major jobs. Well, Carrington, how do you know this? That's how Penn State got James Franklin. He was the head coach at Vanderbilt. He did a very good job at Vanderbilt. Now you ready for the big leagues. And now you move on up. So Georgia Tech's head coach, they're having a great year. They might make the college football playoff. He said, basically, I'm staying. Now, he didn't say those words, but he said, cut me open and see what colors I bleed. That is a pretty emphatic, I want to be here at Georgia Tech. I don't think that Vanderbilt's coach is leaving. Nebraska's coach has made the decision to stay. Indiana's coach has made the decision to stay. So I'm looking at all of these jobs around the country, and I'm asking myself the question, who's going to take these jobs? And maybe more importantly,
do these jobs have the same appeal that they used to? Because now it feels like the expectation at like 20 schools is you need to make the college football playoff every year. And if you don't make the college football playoff, then your season is a failure and you could potentially get fired. Now, I'm not arguing that Missouri is a better job than Florida. Please don't take this. I would argue it is better to coach at Missouri than coach at Florida. Right now, Eli Drinkwitz is the 10th highest paid college football coach. I love Mizzou. I don't think that Eli's the 10th best coach in the sport, but he gets paid like he is. And there isn't that expectation at Missouri where you got to make the playoff every single year. You keep being what Missouri is, and I don't know why Missouri would ever get rid of their head coach. Keep being a program that wins 8 or 9 games. Every once in a while, you win double-digit games. And I think eventually Missouri will make the college football playoff. I think they would have made it 2 years ago if it was a 12-team playoff. I think they were good enough to make it a couple years ago. But we only had the 4-team playoff, if that was the case. Is it better to be in that situation and basically get paid like you are at Florida with none of the pressure of being at Florida, none of the pressure at being at LSU, none of the pressure at being at Penn State? When I heard the LSU AD say, we expect to be in the playoff every single year, I think that was a window into what all of these programs are thinking. I think every program in college football thinks they should be better than what they are. If they're a 6 or 7 win program, they're willing to fire their head coach to try to find the person that can get them to 7 or 8 wins, or who can maybe get you to 9 wins. So if that's the case, if you're somebody like Lane Kiffin and you're at Ole Miss and you're a really solid program, I don't think you're Georgia. I don't think you're Alabama. You're not Ohio State, but you're a very solid tier 2. They love you down there. You make great money and you don't have any of the pressure. You got a great relationship with the boosters. You got NIL money. I don't know why you're not certainly jumping to take these jobs. The Indiana head coach 5 years ago, everybody in the world is telling you, you cannot stay at Indiana. You have to take one of those jobs. That's just a natural progression of what you do. But I don't know if that's the case anymore. If Indiana got 8 years, $92 million to pay their head coach, and you ain't got no expectations, then you tell me that's not one of the best jobs in the country. How do more coaches sign up for something like this? I think that's going to be a thing as we move deeper and deeper into the playoff. And now it feels like it's an all or nothing thing. It now feels like if your team didn't make the playoff, your season is over. Why watch the rest of these games? I don't care anymore. As it's become more playoff or bust, I wonder if those premium premier jobs become less and less appealing because the expectations are so unrealistic at those universities.
I think it's twofold. I think it's one, exactly what you said. If you're at Penn State, I mean, after game one this year at Alabama, people were talking about firing Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer is going to go to the playoff. He gets a bye right now in college football. I think that's part of it. You're 100% correct. I also think there's part of this, too, where if you're at a Georgia Tech, if you're at an Indiana, if you're at a Missouri, if you're at a Kansas State, if you're at, you know, a Utah, a BYU, a Texas Tech, pick one of these non-traditional powers that's good this year in college football, man, there's a path for you to make the playoff where that didn't exist 5 years ago. Like, Brent Key, he's the guy who just said at Georgia Tech, cut me open and see what colors I bleed. 10 years ago, if Brent Key was at Georgia Tech and went 9-3, he has no shot of making the playoff. He's a cute story. He's a, oh man, they went all the way to the Pop-Tart Bowl or the Champ Sports Bowl and they won. Congratulations. If he went 9-3, 9-3, 10-2, 9-3 at Georgia Tech, he's a hero at Georgia Tech, but he's never anything more than that. Never in the college football playoff. Never, you know, maybe goes to an ACC and wins an ACC title game, but it's just, that's his ceiling. You had to go to one of the premier blue blood programs to really give yourself a chance. Nowadays, Georgia Tech can go to the playoff just as easy as Notre Dame can. Georgia Tech can go to the playoff just as easy as Washington can. So if the money's similar and the expectations are easier here and I can go 9-3 and miss it and be a hero, why am I signing up to go 10-2 and be hated when I can be 10-2 here and make the playoff and they build a statue? I think the expanded playoff has been good for these non-blue bloods because suddenly there's a path to be in the championship game. Indiana's the perfect example. Kurt Cignetti is going to be a god in Bloomington for as long as he wants to be because he's already gone to one playoff and he's going to go to another. Joey McGuire at Texas Tech, they're going to view him as one of the best coaches in program history because he's probably going to go to a playoff. Like, That was not a thing. Mike Leach was never taking Texas Tech to the playoff when we were younger. Now there's a path for those type of second-tier, third-tier schools.
But I would say, though, if you were, like, let's say that Mike Leach was happening, I think Mike Leach chooses to stay at Texas Tech.
100%. That's my point. I think nowadays, because he can go to the playoff at Tech, and 10 years ago he couldn't, why am I ever leaving Tech? He would never take the – now, he was a bad example because of off the field. He would never take the Mississippi State job or something.
I get what you were saying.
Stay.
I get what you were saying. No, absolutely. I want to talk about this, and we'll get to what Spec says coming up in just a bit. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but ESPN bet – so ESPN, they had their own gambling service. You've probably seen it on the Bottom Line or whatever. And they have gotten rid of it. They're done. They are not continuing their deal. They're now reaching a deal with DraftKings. I don't know all the particulars of the deal. But I would say I noticed something about ESPN that I think is really, really important. I would say some of the best career advice I ever got was keep the main thing the main thing. That I think when you are in one of these fields, it is very easy for you to get distracted doing other things. Well, you want to do TV, or you want to do a podcast, or you want to do all of these different things. That sometimes I think people get pulled in so many different directions that you forget what the main thing is. This is my job. This is my largest source of income. So why chase doing all of these other things, and why forget that the main thing is the main thing? The reason I tell you this is, when ESPN has tried to do something that is unrelated to the main thing, for the most part, it's failed. You guys remember when ESPN tried to do a magazine? It was great. I loved ESPN the magazine. Now, most magazines were going to fail, but it failed. You guys remember when ESPN tried to have restaurants? You guys ever went to one of those? The ESPN Zone? They were fun when you were a kid. Failed, didn't it? You remember when ESPN had a phone? You guys remember this? ESPN had a phone. That they were going to send you sports scores. That didn't really work. It worked for a year and a half. When ESPN has tried to get away from what the main thing is, you know what ESPN is? They are a television network. Now, I know some of you don't like it, but I think ESPN is a really, really good television network that shapes pop culture. That's what they are. When they focused on that, and creating shows, and remember when they made movies and they created content for the television? It worked. When they have forgotten that and tried to do all these other things, man, it's failed. This is a bad failure, too. You know how hard it is to have the access that they have in sports and you can't get people to gamble with you? Just think about it. They can constantly push it to you, and they do. You see it on the Bottom Line. They can promote it during games. They promote it constantly. They were eighth in the market. You can't name eight gambling apps. How are they eighth? Keep the main thing the main thing. That's what ESPN needs to remember. When we have tried to do these other things, they failed miserably. We are a television network, a damn good one. Let's continue to try to be the best television network that we can be. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got a brand new edition of Spec Says. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.